Hey guys, it's Giving Sunday here at Church Unlimited. It's our annual offering, as well as Palm Sunday. So it's a very unique service today. Hope you enjoy. Just to set this up so you'll know kind of where we're going, it's not a normal flow. I'm going to do the message, and then at the end of the message, while the message is still going on, we'll have an offering time. In the middle of our service, it'll be our regular offering and our annual offering all at the same time, and we're going to lead people to come forward to bring their offering. We normally do not do that. This is a one-time thing that we do annually, but it's just a way to show God some honor. Many of our church members have been preparing and praying for this day for months now, preparing to give an offering, and that's why we have envelopes we gave on the way in for those of you who maybe forgot, but you say, well, I want to be a part, but I'm not prepared to do anything super sacrificial, but you do what the Lord leads you to do. But I'm also excited today because it's Palm Sunday. Can we give it up for Palm Sunday? What a blessing to be able to gather today. And so we're excited to be able to do this. In fact, today's message is called The King is Worth It. We're going to talk about Palm Sunday and walk through the scriptures found in Matthew chapter 21. But before we do that, to kind of set up today, I just want you to check out this video to remind you about why we believe so much in giving and bringing an annual offering. Check out this video.
If these walls could talk, I've seen a lot. Every breath breathed within my halls, every hesitant step when someone wasn't sure they should even walk through my doors, but came anyway. I've been trusted with tears that no one would see. From the beginning, when I was just lines on a blueprint, I never imagined how many miracles I would get to witness. I've aged with generation after generation, watched a widow give when it made no sense. Sacrifice turned to impact again and again. Here, children aren't just watched, they're taught, rooted in God's word, learning who Jesus is and being raised up as future world changers. Teenagers are searching for identity and purpose. Here, they're reminded who they are, finding godly friendships that anchor them and led by adults who believe in them. And what I've learned is this: what begins here doesn't stay here. It travels to the dusty streets of Acuña, Mexico, where you didn't just build homes, you watched lives fully surrender to Christ. It climbs into the mountains of Guatemala, where Christ's love is spoken over dinner tables, nourishing both body and soul. It reaches Haiti, where lives shattered by disaster are being rebuilt and equipping the next generation for a future they never thought possible. I've witnessed hearts saved and lives forever changed. I've stood through storms. You've stood through doubt. Through seasons when walking away would have been easier, you showed up for your community. Today, I'm not just remembering, I'm imagining. The prayers yet to be whispered. The families who haven't yet walked through my doors. People don't just come here to believe something. They come to belong. And that only happens because people chose to invest, to show up, to stay committed. And over time, faithfulness multiplied. New ground was taken. These moments have added up to a story worth telling. So if these walls could talk, they would say, thank you.
Aren't we grateful for all that God has done? Well, we're so grateful that you're here with us today during such a special day for us as a church, and this is a day where we believe God's going to be honored. I want to look at the scripture today in Matthew chapter 21. This is the story when Jesus makes his triumphal entry, and I love the scripture here. In fact, Matthew is one of the few people who have the details of this. In fact, he's the only disciple who covered it in such detail. So let's look what he says. Matthew chapter 21, verse 1. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethphage. Jesus sent two ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to us. If anyone asks you what you are doing, just say, the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey, on a donkey's colt. That fulfills, by the way, the scripture, the prophecy found in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. That's being fulfilled here. And that's one thing that Matthew points out. But one of the things I want to mention here right off the bat, think about that. If you were sent, two of you were sent, Jesus said, hey, you guys go to that community over there. There's going to be a donkey tied up with its colt, basically a mama and a baby donkey. Untie them. If someone says, what are you doing? You say, no, the Lord needs them. Now, I don't recommend you going, finding a car, breaking into it. And as someone comes to stop you saying, no, no, the Lord needs it. I don't recommend this, okay? So that's not what God's saying. God is saying, Jesus is saying, no, I've already prepared their heart for this too. And this is such an important point because I want to mention this because I don't know what's going on in your life today. But I want to tell you this. If you please write this down. The Lord goes before you. What that means, whatever you're facing, the Lord's already there. Maybe you're going off to college and you're like, I don't know when you went to school. God's like, I'm already there. I already have your friends picked out for you. The Lord goes before you. Maybe you're in a court battle. You know, before you enter in front of the judge, the Lord goes before the judge for you. I just want to encourage you, whatever you're facing today, the Lord goes before you. Maybe some of you are about to give an offering and you're really scared to give the number God said because you're like, what about the bills that may come up? I don't know what's going to happen next. But the Lord goes before you in your future. So he already knows that, and he has the provision for that as well when you need it. The Lord goes before you in every situation. And I want to encourage you to let this bring confidence to you that an assurance that God will take care of you. He always has and he always will. The Lord goes before you. Someone needs to be excited at the fact that we have a God we can trust. So just know that he goes before you. So look what happens next. The crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. And others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessings on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in highest heaven. So these people gave literally the shirt off their back. They were like, what do we do? And they just started taking off their cloaks. That just means their jackets, their coats. And laying them down before Jesus, and then he was to ride on this donkey and the donkey's colt and come across their coats, their palms as well. They laid down the palms as well. And so what I want to say here is really important, and that is that true worship costs us something. For some people that day, it costs them their coat. But there's other times when it will cost much more. And so now what's also to be remembered is that some of the same people, not all of them, but some of the same people who were shouting for Jesus also were shouting, crucify him, a few days later. So it's easy for us to forget the position of humility and of worship before God. It's easy for us to, in one moment, to worship God, and the next moment, to curse God. In one moment, to honor the Lord, the next moment, to dishonor the Lord with our actions. And so it's easy to do that, and we all fall into this. I mean, even Peter, remember, just a few days later, denied Jesus three times. And after that, what happened? He became one of the greatest leaders that the church has ever seen. So that happens as well. So I just want to encourage you with this. But true worship will cost you something. And so it did cost him, and it cost him greatly. In fact, David even mentions this in 2 Samuel 24. He talks about this, that at one point he wants to go build an altar because God told him, make an offering for me, right? David needed God in this moment. He said, Lord, I want to make you an offering, but I don't own this land. So he found the owner and said, excuse me, sir, do you own the land? The guy said, yeah. He says, I'm David. I want to buy your land so I can build an offering. And the guy says, no, you're King David. I know who you are. You can have the land. But what does David say? David says, no, I can't do that because then you're sacrificing, not me. So I'm going to buy the land. He says, basically, what's retail rate? What's it worth? Let me pay for it. And now let me make an offering. David actually said, I will not present burnt offerings to the Lord, my God, that have cost me nothing. This is so important. God's not interested in the number that we give him. He's interested in this question. Is it a sacrifice? That's what he's really concerned about, right? Is this a sacrifice for you? And that's different for everyone. In fact, let me show you what sacrifice looks like in John chapter 12. Just a few days before Jesus' triumphal entry, Mary gives a gift to Jesus. Now, this is not Mary, the mother of our Lord. This is Mary of Bethany. Mary had a brother and sister, Lazarus and Martha, okay, just to help you understand who this is. But she took perfume, broke it open, and poured it on Jesus. Look what it says. John chapter 12. Mary took a bottle of very expensive perfume made from pure nard and poured it on Jesus' feet. Then she dried his feet with her hair. The fragrance of the perfume filled the house. Now, ladies, would you agree with me that one of the key parts of your beauty routine is taking care of your hair? Would you agree? And most women would say that's a big part of their beauty. And yet she used her hair to wipe Jesus' feet. That is a picture of incredible humility, right? And so when you worship God, you're humbling yourself before him, saying, God, I don't deserve you in my life. I don't deserve your grace. I don't deserve your goodness on me. I don't want to humble myself. Did you know that scholars tell us, too, that this perfume would have been the price of a year's wages? She gave an annual wage in this one gift. Some people think that is crazy. Who could ever do that? Well, she did it because she did have it. And sometimes we say, Lord, I just can't do it. God's like, you do have it, though, so why can't you do it, right? And some people, this sounds crazy that someone would give a year's wages. But you know, today some people will do that. Some people will bring what we would call an annual wage to the Lord. And some of you right now are like, Pastor, I just can't do that. Well, then the Lord's not asking you to do that. But how great would it be if one day God put you in a position to be able to give what others would consider an annual salary to the Lord? And I believe God can do that for you if you believe as well. So this is really important, though. It says here that the fragrance of the perfume filled the house. You know what I believe? I believe in just a few moments as we bring our sacrifice to Jesus, the fragrance of worship will fill the house. The fragrance of the presence of God is going to fill the house. Oftentimes, fragrance is used to speak of the power of God. Isn't that cool? I love that. Would you write this down? This is important. If you're keeping notes, the first thing is that God goes before you. The second is that true worship costs us something. And the third is sacrifice always precedes a miracle. Are you praying for a miracle in your life, but yet you're not sacrificing towards it? Oh God, do a miracle in my marriage. And the Lord's like, when are you going to do something inconvenient for your spouse? That's not easy, because that's when God does miracles in your marriage. Oh Lord, please give me an A on the exam. And the Lord's like, sure. Are you going to put in the time beforehand? Or are you asking God to bless your laziness? Like, Lord, just give me the A. I really don't deserve it. I'm not going to put any work into it. God's like, no, that's not how this works. You have to sacrifice towards it before I help you recall what you put in your brain, right? So I just want to challenge you. Could it be we're asking God for miracles, but we're unwilling to sacrifice? Maybe you're new here. I just want to tell you something. This church did not get where we are, making the impact we are in all of our communities, without people sacrificing. But this place is an example of great sacrifice by many, many people. And so I just want to encourage you that the goodness of God always follows a sacrifice. Is there an area of your life right now that you think, I'm not happy with the results in this area of my life? Could God be saying, I'm not happy with your sacrifice? So if you'll sacrifice in that area, could that change everything? Maybe you say, I need to make more sacrifices at work. Then that would probably give you the miraculous career results that you want. I'm going to sacrifice towards my children. That's how you raise great godly kids, is that it's inconvenient. It's not easy, right? Parenting is an example of great sacrifice if you do it right, right? They say real sacrifice means you don't skip pages when you're reading to your toddler, right? They're like, nope, I'm going to read the whole book. I'm going to spend this time with him. So I just want to ask you, where are you skipping pages? Where are you not fully sacrificing for the Lord? Sacrifice precedes a miracle every time. Now, I want to take a moment real quick and explain what's called the steps of generosity. Before I do that, I want to invite our worship hosts to prepare for our giving moment. This is a shorter message. We've already had a beautiful time of communion. Aren't we thankful that we can commune with the Lord? What a great thing that we get to do. I love that. So powerful, right? And part of our worship today is to bring a sacrifice. So worship hosts, you can go ahead and come forward as you prepare that. I just wanted to mention the steps of giving while they're talking about it. You know, I mentioned this earlier in the series. I'm not sure what your step is. That's between you and the Lord. But there are steps of giving in the Bible that are really clear. The first step is just to give something. And for some people, that's a huge deal. And I mention this because it's not really a financial barrier to give something. It's an emotional barrier. It's when you finally calm or still or even silence the voice in your head Maybe someone told you this growing up. Maybe you just believed this growing up. Someone told you or you believe it would be stupid to give to a church. Or it would be even more stupid to give to a large church. When actually, none of that's in the Bible. Actually, size has nothing to do with it. It's just about honoring the Lord today. And so I'm not sure what it is for you, but maybe your first step is to say, I'm just going to do something. Pastor, I barely have anything. I have a dollar. Then give 50 cents of it. What does that say? Jesus said, where your heart is, your treasure. You're saying, I'm going to put part of my heart into this. I believe in what God's doing at this church, right? Give something. Maybe for you to give regularly, you say, I give something on occasion, but I've never really set it up. I never said, I want to regularly bring something to the Lord. Maybe it's time to just go online. No one will know but you and God, but maybe it's time to go online and say, I'm going to automate this to where every week or every paycheck or every month, whatever, however you want to do it, I'm going to make sure I'm giving something. I want to regularly contribute to God. Or maybe you say, I've been doing that, but Pastor, I've never fully tithed. I've never even known what it is to live under the full blessing of God, as the scripture tells us in Malachi chapter 3, to bring a full 10% to the Lord. I'm going to do it today, and I'm going to set that up. Or maybe, like many people today, you're going to tithe and give an offering above that. Please keep in mind, if you don't tithe, an offering is still really just part of your tithe. And so because it's the minimum give, it's 10%. So when you're giving a 10%, then you can offer the Lord something above that, right? So many people will do that today, and they'll bring an offering and their tithe today as well. Or maybe today you say, no, I've been preparing for this. I want to go to that highest level of giving, which is tithe plus planned offerings. I've thought about this. I prayed about it. I prepared, and I'm excited to give today. There was a lady who, a pastor, did a talk on giving, and they were having their offering. And for some reason, she just felt led not to walk it up or put in the offering, but to bring it to the pastor. And so, you know, he wasn't really prepared for this moment either. He never would ask anyone to bring him something, but she did. She wrote a check, and she brought it, and she handed it to him and said, hey, this is for the annual offering. And he was like, oh, okay, thank you. I'll make sure it gets to the offering bucket. And then she says, she just quickly said, real quick, she said, is this satisfactory? And he was like, oh, because it's not really his job to decide what is a satisfactory number. And he said, well, does it represent you? And she stopped there for a second thought. God, does it represent me and my family and all the grace of God in my life and all he's done for me? And it was a check for $50. And she immediately said, give me that check back. She took the check back. She came back the next week. And she said, here's a gift. And it was $500. And she said, is this satisfactory? And he said, again, you keep asking me this question. That's not for me to answer. Does it represent you? She thought for a second, thought, God's been so good to me, my marriage, my family, my kids. Give me that back. She came back a little while later with a check for $5,000. And she said, I prayed about this. I thought about it. In light of God's goodness on my life, all he's done, how he's blessed my family, how he's taken care of my children, I believe this gift represents me. So my question for you today is not what you're giving. That's between you and the Lord. But does it represent you? All that God's done in your life, the grace that's been upon you, the favor, the forgiveness, the opportunities, how God has blessed your family, your life, and your walk with him. Does it represent you? That's the real question today. Would you stand to your feet across all of our campuses? Again, this is not a normal thing for us. And if you're visiting with us, just stand with us and just enjoy watching what God's about to do. Because the greatest part of this sermon is not my part. It's your part. It's you choosing to obey the Lord. What's cool about giving too, I thought about this, and we're about to have our moment here, but years ago, my wife and I decided to adopt a daughter, and we adopted our daughter from Russia. And when you first sign up for this whole thing and you start the paperwork, there's a lot to it. There's a lot of sacrifice, a lot of work. And then we went over and we met her when she was 6 months old. And we had to come back and we went back to get her at 8 months old to bring her home. And I'll tell you, you kind of have this belief going in with adoption that I'm going to change someone's life. Like you feel good about yourself. And that's a great thing. Like I can't wait to go change this little girl's life. But what you don't know is that little girl's going to change your life. Giving is just like that. Some of you today are like, I want to bring an offering because I want to change people's lives. God says, no, that's what you thought you signed up for. But this gift you're bringing, it's going to change your life. That's how God works. He always changes the life of the giver, of the sacrificer, as much as he uses that gift to change others. So right now, let's obey God and let's come forward. You can move right now as we give our gifts to the Lord. If you've already given online and you want to come forward and commit that gift to the Lord, that's fine too. Please take a moment to pray and to say, God, thank you that I get to bring this gift. This gift represents me. Thank you, Doctor. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, young man. What's God going to do when I see these young people giving to the Lord, 10, 11-year-olds? What's God going to do in their life by the time they're 35 and 45? Bringing an offering to God. It's people obeying God at all of our campuses right now. You know, the reason why Matthew is the only one who wrote about the fulfillment of Scripture from Zechariah, the reason why he wrote about that is because he was saying, guys, I'm literally with my own eyes watching God move. That's what we're doing right now. We're literally watching history in your life happen. We're literally watching God move in our midst. Can you smell the fragrance? The presence of God is always in the sacrifice. Let's sing together. It's a holy moment. Take your time. It's okay. We know God's still stirring in people as we prepare their gifts. Just obey the Lord, whatever He leads you to do. 2 Corinthians says they first gave themselves to the Lord. That's the whole point. It's not really about money, is it? It's about saying, God, I offer my life. I offer the body of work that I get to do each week. I give you a larger portion of that to say thank you for all you're doing. Thank you for the privilege to give like this, God. This is a holy moment right now. C.S. Lewis once said, interesting thing, that the most effective people in this life are always thinking about the next. And that's why we give, because we realize that we get to make an impact in the world by sharing our faith of Jesus with others. In case you haven't figured out, you're not giving to Church Unlimited, you're giving through it. That's why your church has started 107 churches around the globe. That's why we do mission work locally and around the world. That's why we feed 70,000 people a year. Why? Because we get to. Because it's a privilege to sacrifice so that we can make a difference. God, I want to thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in this place. I thank you, Lord, for those who just gave a sacrifice. May you be glorified by what we've done for you, Lord. And God, in light of what you did, you gave your Son the greatest gift of all. Lord, this week, the Passion Week, as we watch on TV or read in Scripture where Jesus did a slow walk of difficulty, pain, and sacrifice to the cross for us, we get the sacrifice too. We thank you for the privilege to be like Christ, which means to be someone who sacrifices. We pray your blessings over this offering today. May you be glorified. May lives be changed. And Lord, first let our lives be changed, that we get to be a part of this. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Can we just give God a hand right now for what he's done? Praise God. Wow. Thank you. Amazing. You may be seated. As you're seated, I just want to close out our service by this message by just saying real quickly, you know, the greatest gift of all was when Jesus gave his life. He said in Luke 22, he said, this is my body, which is given for you. He literally gave his life for us. And so you say, well, why would people sacrifice like this? Because someone sacrificed first for us. The Lord did. He gave his son. Jesus died on the cross and he rose again from the grave, proving that he's God. That's what we're celebrating next week on Easter, is that Jesus rose again. Now, let me just ask you, are you a Christian? Just real simple. Are you a Christian? Are you a follower of Christ? Now, when I say that, every once in a while, people will say yes or no. Well, normally, if they say yes, I'll say, that's great. But every once in a while, I'll say, are you a Christian? They'll say, yeah. I'll say, well, how long have you been a Christian? And they'll say, my whole life. I'm like, no, actually, that probably means you're confusing what being a Christian means. It doesn't mean that you love God in general. It means you know Jesus personally. So to say I've just always been a Christian is like just saying I've just always been married. It doesn't work like that, does it? You're like, no, there's a specific day that you committed to someone, and you'll probably remember that day. If you don't, wow, that must have been some ceremony, right? I mean, but you should remember the moment you sacrificed and a commitment and said, I commit to you, right? And so to become a Christian is to receive Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, not just believe about him, not just love him in general, but say, no, I want to know you personally. So have you personally given your life to Christ? Let's bow our heads right now. And if you've never done this, you can receive Christ by praying a very simple prayer. This is what it means to become a Christian, a Christ follower. And so Christian literally means little Christ, follower of Christ. You can pray this prayer with us right now. Just say this out loud. You can say, dear Jesus, I realize I need you. I believe you died for my sin. And I believe you rose again. I ask you to come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. I repent of my sins. I put you in first place. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. With your head bowed and your eyes closed, you just gave your life to Christ. No one's looking around. Would you just hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ? Just hold your hand high if you just prayed that prayer for the very first time. Hold your hand high. Thank you. There are hands going up all across our churches. Thank you. We see your hands. Thank you, Rodfield. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Stone Oak. God's moving in all of our campuses right now. Thank you, Broadcast. Hold those hands high. Thank you, Padre Island. Hold those hands high, Portland. Praise God. Thank you, Rockport Fulton. Hold those hands high. In our prison ministry, hold your hand high if you just gave your life to Christ. Those online, you can let us know in the text chat. Just text my hands raised or click hand raised right now. God, thank you for what you're doing in this place. Thank you, Lord, for those who gave their lives to you. Thank you that you gave your son the greatest offering of all time. It literally changed history. And we thank you, God, for all those at all of our campuses and those online who chose to give today to say, God, we want to bring an offering just for you. Not an offering that costs us nothing, but an offering that costs us something. Because, Lord, you gave your son. We are honored to give to you today. Thank you for your word and your truth today. Thank you that history was made, that a fulfillment of scripture, that we will be your people and you will be our God, that we will live a life of sacrifice. We are doing that today, and we give you glory for this honor to be a part of it. In your name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. Isn't God good? His word is so true. Last thing, before I turn it over to our pastors, I just want to say, I know that you gave today to the Lord, but I also know you gave to your church. And I want to say thank you for that trust, and I want you to hear me. You have my promise, we will not violate that trust. We know that is a sacred trust, and the resources given will be used for God's purposes. Thank you for making a difference.